Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Goofy is not a dog. He is actually a rare breed of cow.
Excuse me, what?
Oh.
What? Excuse me? What?
Really?
I made it up. I found it on TikTok. It's a lie, so.
Oh, my God. I was like, it's my whole childhood. Anyway. that's still confusing. I was just like,
you thought about it. Well, for a fraction of a second, you thought you had to think about it. I'm pretty sure both of you put your phones up for a second just to look it up as well. And I was like,
I wasn't about to. I was like, nah. You know what? I'm gonna stop. But welcome to, and that's why we messed up the podcast discussing nerdery, geekism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am Shanners, one of your amazing hosts. Next to me, I have the instant classic brother next to me, bruv. You alright?
Pondering.
Oh lord, it could be. Are you buffering? I feel like there should be like a little circle just going around.
No, just thinking about things.
Okay. Well, while he buffers, AKA on the other side of me, Booger Red, big man. One. You alright?
Yeah, I'm all good. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I hope everyone is well this afternoon, this morning.
Why do people do that?
What's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Why? You said boys and girls. Why are you bringing children of all ages as well? It makes sense.
No, a bunch of children, get out. You shouldn't be here. Turn it off. Something else. Okay. I welcome all in between. Baby boys, baby girls, non-binaries, everybody. Except the children. Get out. Young at heart. You know what I mean.
Children swear. We all swore when we were children. Let's just accept it and deal with it.
That is true.
Actually, before we get onto the topic at hand, which I believe is Big Man's topic today, I watched Love, Death and Robots on Netflix season 3 last night. I also watched season 2 because I'm caught up on that one. I have got to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it. If there are two that I would have to say stood out for me, there's one called Jibaro, which is absolutely the same people who did The Witness and work on Into the Spider-Verse. Check that out. That is, called Mini... Night of the Mini Dead is my other personal favourite. I'm not going to spoil them. They are like 10 minutes, if that. But what I will say is the graphic ability that is coming out, animation that is coming out these days is shocking. It is absolutely... And actually, in a gaming thing, Troy Baker does one of the voices in one of the shorts as well.
No, that's fine. I was just watching Barky. He does a voice for Barky, the main character in that.
All right, okay. I was like, you know his voice. I'm like, I feel like that's Is that? That was actually, I think he was in the short directed by David Fincher. It's very good. I would recommend it, you know. And once again, I did that thing where everybody gets a different, the way it's done is very differently depending on what your profile is or what have you. But check that out. Love Death and Robots season 3. I found it much stronger than season 2 and up there with season 1. Oh,
cool.
That's all I had to add. Yeah. And bruv, you saw Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, but we can talk about that. Let's just move on. It's Big Man's turn, so let him talk.
That's true. Big Man,
hello.
The floor is yours. Here you go.
There we go. I hope everyone is relaxed. I have a drink in hand. They're just taking it easy because I apologize for the forthcoming rant that's coming soon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So what do you want to write about today, big man?
A small company which is known as WWE.
Oh, that's how
you rub my hands and
oh boy,
and
let me get a drink. That plucky little startup. Yeah,
let me order a two-piece and listen to yours, mate. What's going on?
Let's, for real.
Okay, so as many people might have not known, I have cancelled my subscription to the network.
He has. I couldn't get onto it for ages. I just realised he cancelled it. So
yeah, everyone has a limit. And I think mine was WrestleMania. I mean, to be fair, WrestleMania this year wasn't that bad. But it was the fallout from it. And let's just say, I'm a calm man. I'm a relaxed man within reason. I'm a relaxed man within reason. The last 2 weeks, it has died. Me not spending £10 a month. But before I start, I must give a massive shout out to a good friend of ours, which is Stu Reed. He has his own podcast called the Top Turnbuckle Podcast with him and his mate James, who gave us a shout out on their channel. Check them out on your social networks. Great stuff, great content. Get involved, people. You won't regret it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it, man.
We all appreciate it. So I'm just going to take you back. So I'm going to start with the bigger issue, which basically, as everyone knows, Monday Night Raw happens live every Monday. Us in the UK, it screens live at 1 a.m. on Sky. No, on BT Sport. That time in the morning, like many other people, I'm asleep. So you can imagine my disbelief. I woke up Tuesday morning, getting ready for work, left the house. Oh, let me go on the gram, see what's on. And I've seen it flash up saying Sasha Banks and Naomi has been suspended by WWE. Just maybe it's a work, clearly. And then throughout the day, I've seen all these messages appear on the social saying they were right, they've been exploited, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, you know what, let me actually delve into this. Now, I don't know if you heard about this, bro, but basically, Sasha hasn't been happy since the return of Ronda Rousey. Did you know about that?
I have heard about this, yes.
So basically, the alleged storyline for Mania this year was supposed to be Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair, which, to be perfectly honest, has happened quite a few times. But they both work well together. There's no denying that.
Mm. Yeah, I thought I'd heard that you said that this has happened before.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, Sasha has previous of walking out on WWE, but I'll get to that in a minute. Now, to be fair, the idea of a Sasha and Charlotte Mania match would have been good, but yet again, it's been done before. I mean, how many times can you repeat a feud? I'm not talking about Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, of course. But anyway...
Bloody hell, let it go, dude. They're both retired. Oh, just get over it. Oh, boy.
I had to throw a Bret Hart dig in there somewhere. But let's just say, it's happened around about 3-4 times. SummerSlam, Raw, SmackDown, you name it, it's happened. So Ronda comes in, fair enough. Ronda gets the title shot, wins it. So running out of ideas for Sasha, they put her with Naomi, who is a decent wrestler now. Remind me, brother, this is why I need your help. She's married to Rich Uso.
Oh, no, I can't tell you. They're both... the twins. I still don't know which one's Jay and which one's Jimmy. I can't tell.
I think it's Jimmy she's married to, but if I'm wrong, please let us know. So
twins, I'm sorry. I can't tell.
There was a rumour going around over the last couple of weeks that basically the bloodline were going to get a new member and it was all delving or going in the direction it was going to be Naomi. So I thought... maybe it's actually part of the story. So, you know what I mean? She goes bad, joins the bloodline, roots running everything, so etc. But then, when I heard about what actually happened on the Monday night, that basically they got to the arena, found out that, oh, basically that they're taking part in a six, was it called a six woman match?
And yeah, it's like a six way match. Yeah.
And whoever wins will get the title shot against Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
And the original concept of that match was supposed to be Naomi was supposed to pin Sasha.
Mm.
So Naomi would have got the title shot on Raw. Sasha would have got a title shot against Ronda on SmackDown. Now, to be perfectly honest, that doesn't actually sound that bad because they're both still getting their time in the limelight. But the loophole is, what is supposed to be the tag titles that they won at Mania? How many times have I actually defended that tag team title?
They've literally had those titles a week, it feels like. I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, but it's probably a few months. But it's... Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Here. All right. So, something like this happened years back. And Big Man, you're going to remember this. Way back in the day, close to the end of the Attitude Era, slowly going into the Ruthless Aggression Era, there was a match that was supposed to happen for King of the Ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Brock Lesnar.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, the idea was Stone Cold was going to do the job for Brock Lesnar, aka lose and get pinned. Now, Stone Cold is still, at the time, he was still one of the top guys in the company. It was him, The Rock, Triple H, Kurt Angle, a few others. But Stone Cold was the king. It was one of the kings, it's safe to say. And the problem he had with doing the job to Brock Lesnar was that his thing that he said he didn't mind losing, it's just the fact you're not giving us any build-up. It's just, I'm having a match. There's I'm a former champion. I've done this. Brock Lesnar's this up-and-coming thing. He's destroying people. Build it up. Give it hype. You can't just drop something like that on a TV match. It's a pay-per-view. This is money. And he had a point, big time, but because he didn't agree with what they were doing, he just walked out. And that was it. That was basically him done in company for a bit until he decided to talk to Vince and come back. So this happened before. So basically, with the same situation with Sasha and Naomi, they didn't really agree with how they're being treated because they've just been given championships. They're not really being treated as champions. And now you're going to try and break up the group after a few months or a couple of months or maybe a few weeks of them being together. You're going to break them up and cause issues already. So yeah, they basically gave the head of talent relations the titles and walked out. And now they've been indefinitely suspended. And when I say I'm playing devil's advocate, I get it from WWE's point of view, because at the end of the day they are employees contractors. What is it? It's thing contractors? Independent contractors, whatever you call it.
How we can scam them without paying them proper and covering
them basically.
Basically.
But at the same time, but really, let's be honest, they are under contract with WWE, so they are employees. Mm-hmm. So if I'm running the business, or if you're running a business and someone's not happy with your decision and they just walk out, what are you going to do?
Well, here's the thing. Because allegedly, obviously, they said Vince actually agreed with Sasha with what she said about the whole, we're not defending the tag titles, what's the point of us winning it, which he said he understands, but you're still going ahead with the match tonight.
Mm.
Turning and walking, now I understand. But you know what, 9 out of 10 times in WWE does these sort of things, you usually think it's a work. But it's until a turning point was SmackDown the other day. Now, as everyone knows, when WWE starts, you have the logo that comes up and it has all the superstars with the term now, then and forever. Debra raised Sasha and Naomi out of that opening logo.
I'm not surprised. Because
this is not looking good.
No, because what they're doing is, what they're going to do is behind the scenes, they're going to see what they can do to make things work out, because at the end of the day, they don't want them to go to AEW. But... Yeah. They're gonna say again.
Consequences.
Yeah, there's got to be consequences, but at the same time, WWE are going to do what WWE do is trying to protect their investment, so they're going to have to preempt. It's like the whole Roman Reigns thing when COVID hit. He said, "Yeah, I'm not coming in." They did the same. They did the same shit to him. So you know, it's what they do. In a sense, it kind of in a way it makes kind of sense, because at the end of the day, if you're not going to have those characters on the roster consistently and not sure what you're going to, you should take them off, because at the end of the day, people are going to be like, "I haven't seen these people in ages. Why are they still on the opening screen?" Kind of thing. I'm playing devil's advocate. I get what they're doing, but at the same time, do I agree with what they're doing? Not really, because at the end of the day, these people, they want to wrestle. They want to do a job. They want to be a part of this creative process. But if there's nothing creative about the process, what else can they do? They're doing what's right by talking to creative, by talking to the head guy, and he's saying, "I understand, but you still got to do it." It's like, what can you do? That frustration.
And that's the thing is, unfortunately, WWE, you back the process. If you don't, we'll just make you sit out how many months in catering, or in the case of Mustafa Ali, years in catering, and then bring. But yeah, a lot of people saying Sasha's wound up a lot of people, superstars behind the scenes. She's not well liked, allegedly, again. And to be fair, when you see the work she does in the ring, she can make anyone look good. She's one, to be fair, she doesn't have a bad match. Can you think of a bad match she's ever had?
No.
Yeah.
No. I feel like that part needs like the Jeopardy music. Underneath it.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, even every day, they're like, "Oh, the latest update is there is no update." It's just looking bad. But in some ways, this kind of relates to my next subject, because basically, as much as I would love this to work out, whenever she returns, and there is no doubt she will return, because I think she signed some ridiculous, like, 6-year contract extension, it's going to be a humble pie time. You're going to hold a couple L's, probably get demoted to NXT, then brought back up. Then probably wind down your contract and then depart. I mean, hell, she's got an acting career outside of WWE anyway, with a performance in Mandalorian. So,
she wasn't Mandalorian, to be fair, yeah.
Yeah. So she can easily kick on. But on a side note, this brings me to our next subject, which is a bizarre link, which is the Bloodline. Now, as much as I've had to eat some severe humble pie over the last few years over Roman Reigns.
Tribal Chief.
On the table.
I think WWE have backed themselves into a corner, and there is a problem on the horizon.
I have to agree. And I hate to say it, but it's true.
It's coming, and I think it's already hit home. And as much as I respect and love the work that all of them have done over the past 2 years, I mean, let's run it back. We're talking about a man who has not taken an L in, what, 2.5 years?
Yeah, since he's come back, he's not lost. Well, he's not lost. He hasn't really taken the pin.
No.
Apparently
2 years ago, yeah. And he's literally run through the entire roster. And making him a heel has worked beyond my wildest dreams. Like I said, 2 years ago, brother mentioned Roman Reigns to hit me, and my exact words would be anyone but Roman. 2 years later, my hand is in the up. I'm the number one. So yeah, I can easily admit that. But, you know, having the Bloodline have all the gold, as great as it is, because it's worked for D-Generation X, NWO, Four Horsemen, blah, 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 you've got nothing left to do. You have a champion of both brands who's now going to be working a lighter schedule. Who is going to beat them? And you can see it's getting tiring now, because the fans are not really buying it anymore. You've made them pretty much untouchable. Now, bruv, help me out.
I can't. You're right. I think, what match was it? It was, I think it was actually last Mania, when Brock Lesnar actually lost to him at Mania. It reminds me of a period that happened in TNA, but it happened in WWE first. I don't know if you've mentioned this on the podcast before, or if I mentioned it to Chantal at all, but there was a period of wrestling, Big Man, you're going to remember it, known as the Reign of Terror.
I feel like this. You've mentioned this to me before.
Yeah, I probably have.
Yeah.
So the Reign of Terror, for those who don't know, refers to a run on with Triple H as a heel champion. He got given the belt when the brand split, and he was the world champion of Raw. And it went for, I'm pretty sure it was like a year or longer, mm-hmm. where he was just champion and no one could beat him.
Yeah,
and there was always these good build ups for people to beat him, but they never capitalized on that, and it just ruined wrestling for a bit, to be honest. Everyone had enough of it, but Triple H was basically running the show, literally like behind the scenes and obviously on the camera. So it was just a draining process. I think one of the worst, or actually there's two worst things actually during that period.
What are the two worst things during that period? Oh God.
Okay, well, I'll mention, I hate to say it, but I'm going to mention the least worst thing that happened. Yeah. Even though it's pretty racist.
Booker T.
There it is. Because fact of the matter is, like, Booker T had a really good up and coming like process when it came to WWE. He started quite low as a tag team champion, and had a really good two man act with him and Goldust, which kind of like garnered a lot of backing and a lot of fan base and everything. And it was really good, and it was like his turn to go for the championship, and they played on his criminal past, and then. Two major things happened that always stand out to me, and it was just like, oh, why? It's just cheap bullshit. So the first thing was like when they were in the ring, and Triple H went to his face and looked him up and down and said, "People like you don't become champion." And I was like, oh, no. And then the worst one for me was basically, Booker T comes to Triple H in the bathroom, getting in his face. And Triple H's response was, "Throw some money in his face. Here, get me a towel." I was like, Booker T proceeded to beat the shit out of him, obviously. But at the same time, it's like, yeah. But the worst thing to come out of this, the Reign of Terror, worse than racism, I'm going to say one name. Actually, Big Man, you say the name.
No. I'm intrigued to see where you're going with this, actually.
All right, fine. Katie Vick.
Oh, no. You see, I had a feeling you were going to draw for that name.
Katie.
Is that the thing I'm thinking about?
What are you thinking about, Sis? You tell me.
Yeah, please.
There was a really storyline that I hate. Is this a necrophilia story?
There it is, right there.
Jesus Christ!
So Byron knows, well, many other bad moments that happened, but those are two of the worst.
I would say we'll link in the description, but I don't think we should.
And to be fair, you can't really find footage of that. I don't think you want to find footage of that. If you want to find it on your own, we're not going to help you. We're not helping you. But
Wait. We're not saying it actually happens. What we're saying is that the whole thing just in poor taste, and we're
it's all in poor taste. But and again, it was just a period of basically of Triple H just ruling the roost, and no one being able to beat him. But when it actually did end, it ended well with Batista taking them down, which was done really well. It was actually a good storyline, a good build up to that point. But like Big Man said, I don't see who could do it now. I mean, like,
it's and the thing is, there's a major opportunity here where they can bring new talent up, but why would you? Because there's just going to be nothing more than sheep for Roman to destroy.
I mean, to be fair, I think there's only out of all the out of everyone on the roster right now, I think there's only one person that might be able to actually to do it, because they seem to be doing a relatively decent job of what they're doing with him right now. Mm-hmm. Bobby Lashley.
Now, you see, I would actually watch a Bobby versus Roman match, because Bobby has come on leaps and bounds over the last few years, but while he's taking on Omos, or whatever the hell he's calling himself these days, that ain't going to happen anytime soon. But the ironic twist is, I've accidentally seen the next three feuds Roman has coming.
I heard about that. Who are they? I was going to, because there was a news report recently about that. I was going to look into it, but I didn't look. So, but what are they, dare I ask?
Laugh now. So, the next WWE pay-per-view event, I believe, is Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
He will take on Matt Riddle. Yeah, your silence is golden. Don't get me wrong.
The silence was actually deafening, and Brad's still silent.
Riddle's not that bad.
That's not what Brad's silence is saying. It's speaking volumes. It's actually loud. Say it in my ears. That was a minute.
I'm trying to make sense of it. That's why it doesn't make any sense no matter how much I mean.
Right, so basically I think they're going with the angle because Roman interfered in the match that made him lose the tag titles.
But it would make more sense for Randy to do it.
But that's Money in the Bank. No, sorry, that's Hell in the Cell. After Hell in the Cell, there is Money in the Bank. But on a side note, I hope they're wrong, but allegedly they've changed the plan on Money in the Bank this year. Now, as you know, since Money in the Bank is the one pay-per-view event where it's a ladder match, unless it's during the pandemic where someone got thrown off the roof. The
Oh, God.
I've got to say, during the pandemic era, that's probably one of the best pay-per-views that came out. Well, I'm not even going to lie.
But do you remember when, as soon as we heard the idea, the first thing we said is, that's taking place on the roof of WWE Tower.
Like two people got thrown off.
Of course.
So the plan is apparently for this year's Money in the Bank. There was a promo that was aired that Cody Rhodes did, saying basically the Money in the Bank, you know the rules, two superstars, man and female, climbs onto the top of the ladder, grabs the briefcase. Now, in previous years, the terms was the briefcase can make you cash in on a title shot any time in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
Whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
No. Apparently now, the briefcase gives you a guaranteed title shot at Mania.
That's dumb.
Yeah, again, so which then makes me ask, what the hell is the point of the Royal Rumble then?
That's dumb. Like, the whole point of Money in the Bank is that you didn't know when someone was going to cash it in. That's the whole point of it. That was a surprise. You don't see it. That's dumb.
Welcome to WWE. I was hearing things. And then I saw the advert again, and I had to rewind, but he just actually said, the winner of the Money in the Bank will cash in the briefcase at Mania. The point of that. But yet again, what do we know? This is Vince's baby. But
so basically, you can't use it until next year. It's dumb.
Pretty much so. But who knows? The point, you might have filmed another advertisement since then, but anyone who wants to see that, one, we'll try and leave it in the description, and two, definitely check it out on YouTube. But back to the Bloodline and Roman. His second opponent is going to be... No, that's it. He's not at Money in the Bank with the call this year. He's not. That he's missing that event due to the reduced schedule. So his next appearance will be SummerSlam. And that will be against Randy Orton.
That makes more sense against than Riddle.
And then the third, which links me into my next and third subject, is taking place in Wales at the Clash at the Castle pay-per-view.
Oh, do you mean the ones, the show that's like a £3,000 a ticket?
did you get yours, big man? Because
Amazingly, you might hear this, but no! This is the next rant. Now, as being a fan of WWE, I've been very lucky and fortunate to go to a few events in the UK. Always a Raw pay-per-view. A Raw taping. In fact, actually, I need to hold back on that. I've been to one SmackDown taping as well. All had very good tickets, which I've had. Been very lucky to have been have middle row, and probably the furthest I've been was 8 seats away from ringside. I remember that ticket being £89. So I thought, you know what? We're living a good life. Why not? So the tickets for this event in Wales, it was released on Wednesday, and why does that work? I thought, you know what? Tickets are like, let me just see how much these are going for. And horribly wrong. So, for the VIP experience, which is to a ticket around ringside, to stay in a hotel.
A three-star hotel. Can we say that, please? A three-star hotel. I'm insulted. Yeah, I'm bougie. I'm insulted. A three-star hotel. Okay. Okay, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was costing you £3,400 each. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're Ted DiBiase, I'm sorry, it's just nothing but chump change to y'all. But for the working folk, I'm sorry. For that amount of money, I can get tickets to Mania, the Raw after Mania, flight and accommodation, spending money, beer money, and back.
So what's the price for a normal ticket?
A normal ticket? Well, let's see. If you want bleacher seats, and what I mean bleacher, you're touching the
proper team. Nosebleeds.
Yep, yep.
Clouds, yeah.
That can set you around about £50, yeah? You might suffer from the odd vertigo, but that's £50-60. For the 70 and 80 period, you're looking roughly the odd middle section, working your way down. To get working your way down to borderline near enough floor, you're looking at 95 to 120. If you want floor, you're looking at 300. Actually, no, that's wrong. If you're looking at floor seats, that could be anything from 150 to 2. Maximum. But I've been lucky enough to the point where I remember when was the last time I went, the seats I had, I was middle near enough floor. And who went past me? Braun Strowman at the time. And I thought, this is good ass. I'm all good. I don't need ringside seats.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ringside seats, when Triple H comes out and he spits water, I expect the water to work more than whatever shirt I'm wearing. Yeah. If I'm paying ringside seats and Austin's drinking beer, I fully expect you to be showered by the beer. Who is petting the fact is, what cracks me up is the fact that this WWE had the cheek to put on their social media feed that the Clash at the Castle is their most expensive pay-per-view of all time. You think?
That's not to be proud of.
It's not to be proud of.
That's nothing to be proud of. That's
Vince McMahon saying you're a sucker, so pay up.
I hope they've gotten, they've mastered how to fill seats or hide the empty seats when the time comes, because I've got a feeling we're going to go back to the COVID days of literally nobody being in the arenas again. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, what I love, there was trending on Twitter where people were renaming it, called it the Cash in the Castle, because who is paying? And surprisingly, you might find this hard to believe, it hasn't sold out.
What? No, that's so hard to believe.
People are literally like, literally, there's a cost of living crisis in the UK, and you want me to find what? And to add insult to injury, I'm not in a decent hotel. I'm not letting that go. I'm just not letting it go. I'm not. Sorry. No. Three stars.
If I'm spending that money.
Okay, so three stars isn't bad. I mean, for that price, definitely, but I'm saying it's
am
not...
I joke? For free gun, am I a joke to you? So it's literally like to me, am I a joke to you? You clearly think I'm a chief. What, are you shuffling and chucking with a do-rag to... What next? Oh, just God. Go and send the Premier in. Are you high?
For $3,000, right? If I'm paying that amount of money, Drew McIntyre serving me breakfast, yeah?
That's
what I'm thinking about. Yeah, I want that VIP treatment, yeah? And when I'm getting in the lift, the superstars are getting in the lift with me too. They're walking me through the backstage.
For $3,000, yeah. I'm going to need Adam Copeland's handshake straight up.
There it is.
I'm going to need that to happen.
That's a bit.
And if you're giving me a 3-star hotel, I'm going to need escorted by Edge. I'm going to be like, wait one sec. I need one of them, wait one sec. That's what I'm going to need. I'm going to need that.
That's a really pricey handshake, so I'm just saying.
At least
get a cuddle.
So I'm staying in a travel lodge. And sorry, that's like 1-star. What am I doing? I'm staying in mediocre surroundings and I'm paying you $3,000. Nah, you better be there. Adam, I'm just saying, you need to be there. You need to just be like, oh wait, Chantel's coming. Like it's them ones. Oh wait, 1 second. I need to get a location of, can you share your location please, Shanners? I need to see where you're at. Cool. That's good. Thank you. That's what I need. $3,000.
And that's the sad thing, and the amount of money that they made, it doesn't look good for forthcoming of it. I mean, hell, if they held this at Wembley, could you imagine how much that will be?
No.
Yeah, I can. No one's going to it. That's that show, no one's going to that show.
What, $4,000 on the Airbnb? Is that what I'm going to get then? At Wembley?
Or the after party or that box party?
Yeah, people are going to be paying for the nosebleeds, and like, because there's going to be no one up front, they're going to have to move them all downstairs to the front so they can actually hit, like, people off, like, the stands are filled.
Yep. And people are going to be vexed and be like, so hold on, these lot paid what? And I paid what? And you moved them down to make it look good for the cameras. Mm-hmm. And it's like, talk to Vince. Talk to Vince. Ask him to put on a do-rag and put some Dax and tell him to come down here so you can talk to him. That's what you should do.
Oh, look.
You can usually let the do-rag thing duck, guys. That's you really need to let go.
As long as that is breathing, I'm never letting that go. Letting it go.
He's never going to die, so yeah.
Do-rag McMahon, though. Why do you hate do-rag McMahon so much?
Big man, do you actually like do-rag McMahon?
Excuse me?
No, you know what? I remember laughing when I saw it because I couldn't believe this is the level that he's gone.
Wait, isn't Durag my man? Is that the same match where he got his back of his leg broke up and he couldn't walk?
No, that was that was a Royal Rumble event where John Cena and Batista both fell out the ring at the same exact time. And I think at the time, Edge, your boy, was walking down the aisle and he saw Vince just coming down. He was like, oh shit, I'm going. He ran back to the, And as Vince was doing the Vince thing, striding down, bitching and cussing, he slid into the ring.
Yeah,
he hit his legs, his quads against the ring apron and blew them both.
Yeah.
So he blew both his quads. So basically, he was like
sitting there.
Yeah, sitting there, telling everyone off and telling him how it's going to work out now, kind of thing. And he blew both his quads doing that.
I'm not going to say anything because I know how these men are, but you get what you deserve, is what I'm going to say.
It should be your birthday, Falcon. I might have to reach out and see if I can find a Greg McMahon t-shirt just for you, Sif. I know my life will be on borrowed time anyway, but you know what I mean? We have to all go out one way or another.
Before I go and get you a Jai Courtney and Roman Reigns combined poster.
He likes Roman Reigns now, it wouldn't work.
He likes it now, isn't it? So, make it
Sam Worthington.
It's Sam Worthington still. But then again, if I put Jai Courtney and Sam Worthington, they blend into one and you wouldn't even be able to tell who you.
That's so tough. The backlash that they received on Twitter was hilarious. One person put, and I quote, I had to laugh because I said, you know what? I couldn't say it any better. Right. Ticket prices for Clash in the Castle are completely a travesty. No one in their right mind will spend half a grand and being able to sit somewhere where you can't even see what's happening. People saying it costs less to go to WrestleMania from the UK. Someone call the police.
It's true, actually. That's actually double insulting. Because, yeah, when you think about it, and in one of the things that I've my other job, my dad sometimes arranged travel for people. Yeah, for that £3,000, I could definitely get.
Yeah, to be fair,
a return ticket, accommodation would be nice. You could get that sorted. Yeah,
spend money,
and you're back, and you still have change for £3,000. Yeah, you're buoying me though, isn't it? You're buoying me. Nah.
It's clear buoyment. But yet again, sis, this one thing which I love about doing this show with both of you two, because you have a way of bringing up a next subject while I'm linking it to another one, and which, to be fair, I can't have a wrestling podcast without speaking about your boy, Mr. Adam Copeland, and his new haircut.
Oh, you haven't seen? Have you seen that, sis? That's just a good point.
No, there's a new haircut. Excuse me. I'm gonna have to have a look. This obviously wasn't approved in the chat. Sorry, let me have a look.
I forgot to send that picture. Actually,
the other day, and I said, "Your boy looking fresh." And you thought, "Oh, goddamn!" Mm.
Oh yes, you said to me, "That was good. That was delicious that morning." It was a bit. Oh hello, oh Adam, hello. That's delicious.
Let's walk again.
Don't. My little heart. Get a patter. Yeah, delicious. Delicious. I'll add to that. That is nice.
What about Judgment Day crew?
It has potential. But I am concerned.
Okay.
I'm worried we're gonna have enough retribution on our hands, but okay. The only thing that gives me hope is that Edge is the main guy, so I'm cool with it. So until further notice, I'm cool with it. If they add another member or two, it'll be cool because other than the Bloodline, hasn't been really a decent major stable that's kind of like run shit.
And the thing is, with Judgment Day, apparently there is going to be two more members. Now, cleverly, what I've enjoyed is what Edge has done with his Instagram, where he's uploading pictures of superstars with no content. And thinking, hey, this could work. I mean, when this crew was put together, I'm not a big fan of Damian Priest, but you know what? He does a job.
Yeah.
I can live with that. Everyone knows I love Rhea Ripley. So she's perfect for
everyone loves Rhea Ripley. It's amazing how many people love Rhea Ripley. People who don't even know who Rhea Ripley is love her. It's ridiculous.
Rob, do you love Rhea Ripley?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, oh my god! Like, says if you saw Rhea Ripley, would you? You would love her.
In
fact, yeah. Go on.
Yeah. Figure out while we're actually doing your reaction. Now, what I didn't know is who Rhea Ripley is currently dating.
I thought she was engaged once upon a time ago, but they broke up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who should now, date
you? Right, this is... I actually laughed at
Oh, me. Damn.
Oh, damn, yeah. Indeed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Okay, mm-hmm. I could... Okay. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
I can see why... Oh, she's Aussie. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Late. I've been there. Okay. Right. Okay. Hmm.
Now, the ironic thing is, when Judgment Day was formed, straight away, I laughed because I thought Judgment Day reminded me of a poor man's House of Black from AEW.
Yeah.
Rhea Ripley is actually dating Buddy Murphy or Buddy Matthews from House of Black.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a height difference as well. That's weird.
Yeah.
But. Okay, that's. Wow, the irony in that. Bloody hell.
Hey, who's taller?
Really,
oh, hey, look, so look. There are some guys out there who hey, like man, that.
They, I wouldn't say enjoy... okay, again. I'm 5'11". If you give me an Amazon 5'2", I would not be a problem. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yep, there you go. There you go. There you go.
But it's just funny because like Buddy Murphy is like he's always like 5', like he's like 5'6", 7", maybe. He's really muscular, and then you got obviously Rhea Ripley is like 5'9", 5'10".
Oh my god, you know, I'm just thinking of some... That's just put in my mind the end of the She-Hulk trailer.
Oh, the carrier.
Yeah, that's what I'm now seeing in my head. I'm like, okay, you go.
To be fair, Rhea Ripley is someone who I'd love to see get a decent push out of the women's title. Not now,
I'm into that.
But just give it a couple months. I mean... As much, and I'm not digressing from the situation, I love Becky Lynch. This Daft Punk version of her that's going around right now, like from Tron Legacy, what happened to the man character? Yeah, because he's gone from the man to, I don't know, what the hell's going on?
She's reflecting her husband, man. That's basically what they're kind of both putting out these days, to be fair.
Yeah, to be fair, his swag is next level, to be honest. That man can go for days.
They just WWE just need to, instead of concentrating on the main what, so Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, you've got
top tier one, that's group one.
Yeah, like you've got over what 20 other female superstars in the roster who you could be working on. Like, do you remember back in the day, like in the Attitude Era, everyone had a weird little storyline going on.
No, even to ask, I was going to ask, who's doing the writing now? Who's writing right
yeah,
now?
They've got a team of writers.
Yeah,
right. the team are fucking up. Clearly,
like, I mean, like, back in the day, like wrestlers were allowed to talk. Like people like The Rock, Triple H, Stone Cold, they would just say, "All right, what have I got?" So they'll be given like a script for like what the angle is, but then when it came to them talking on the mic, that was all them. They were allowed to just improv and say their shit. These days, only the top people can do that. And even like during like the Judgment Day's promos, some of them are scripted. When like people like Edge don't need to do that.
Oh, not at all.
Rhea Ripley, she just definitely doesn't need it. And it's insulting. Just like, I remember for the longest time, Roman Reigns, he wasn't allowed to speak his shit. He was scripted. He was saying shit like suffering succotash, for God's sake, legitly live on TV over the mic. and now he's been given the whole tribal chief head of the table stick, and he's now to say what the shit he wants. Yeah. He's a fucking bad man.
Mm.
Like when the moment I knew I loved Roman Reigns was when he basically told one of the Usos to get out of my arena. This is my arena, get out. I was like, yeah, that's it.
I think that's when the penny dropped with me. It's the Survivor Series match where he took on Jay and Jimmy, the brother, turned up and he's saying, I don't want to hurt your brother. No, man, we cool. Give me a high five. And Jimmy gives him a high five and he puts him into a headlock and just squeezes him out. And he's just laughing at him. I was like, you know what, Roman? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll give you a flowers. I'll give you a prop, mate. You made me a believer. Believe that. And I can't believe I said it. The two words I wouldn't be insane years ago. But it's just WWE. Let the superstars know what they want. Let them do what they want. Mm-hmm. I mean, saying about Judgment Day, on paper, it looks good. I mean, rumors flying around that the next member could possibly be Tommaso Ciampa, which I'm cool with. He will fit perfectly with that. In fact, I could be up with that. Also, at the same time, Paige's name has been made reference. Do you remember? She's still contracted to WWE.
But she can't. Can she actually legally wrestle?
Apparently, she's been training for the past year.
Damn.
One swerve which I heard, which I would be happy for character development, but I'll be pissed because it is what the superstar has gone to. Finn Balor's name's been mentioned.
I've been hearing his name mentioned as well, to be fair.
And here's someone which I wish right now, if WWE doesn't know what to do, just let the man leave him with his contract and let him go AEW.
You know what? I think, as somebody over the past couple of years, like observing and listening and what have you, I feel like it's a similar thing that happens in films sometimes, where you have directors who really like, they tightly manage every single thing you do, like every single thing. They don't allow anybody else to have kind of input. And sometimes it works really, really well. And sometimes you have to be flexible in regards to talent that you have. And I feel like from what you guys are saying, this team of writers, because like when you guys send me stuff, you know, when I hear about when David Arquette was writing and when Freddie Prinze Jr. was writing and when this one was writing and that one, and these are, you know, brought about some of the, you know, some of the greatest things that's happened in wrestling. I feel like because it's so managed now, every single moment is managed and it's not kind of being thought out as to the potential and letting the people do their thing. So because every moment is managed and every interaction is managed, except unless you make it through, there's a lack of, and also to me, it might even speak to their lack of ability, because it's almost like they're saying, we're managing that because if you go off script and you don't do that, we don't know if we can write that around. Which is like, sometimes some of the best things you can do is go, right, here's the leeway. We want this, but we need to let this develop. Because this has been going for a couple of years now where you guys have been complaining about the fact that there's no, you know, talents are being treated correctly, there's not a storyline you can get your teeth into, and it's just like, dude, come. I think there's too many, it's almost like there's too many cooks syndrome. I don't know what you guys think about that.
No, it's like, for example, years back, Paul Heyman was, I don't know if you know Paul Heyman is, I think we might have mentioned him a few times. Back in the day, he used to run an organization, wrestling organization called ECW. And he revolutionized hardcore wrestling back in the day. After that, he moved to WWE as an announcer. He did some writing behind the scenes. He was a manager for a lot of the big names like Brock Lesnar, currently the head of the table. He's his advisor. But like I said, behind the scenes, he used to do a lot of writing. There was a period where he was writing for SmackDown. Now, Paul Heyman's very competitive, so he wanted to beat Raw, because obviously they were separate brands at the time, so it was like a whole thing. One of the best things Paul Heyman did was that he was able to grow stars without sacrificing other stars. So, for example, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar were like the heads of the table. They were literally like the big dogs in, you know, the Rocks, your Stone Colds of the time.
Yeah.
But he still was able to promote them while still promoting people like Edge, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, and they all got their time to shine. So it's not impossible.
No.
And he proved it otherwise. He was able, like, there was a period where it was like the SmackDown Six. So it was like Edge, Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, and I'm forgetting one other person. I can't remember who it was, but those were basically the up and coming stars who just put on amazing match after match after match every single day they were on SmackDown, and they were like their stock rose so high. And again, at the same time, people like Undertaker and Brock Lesnar were still going strong.
Yeah.
You know, still being respected, still being treated like a big deal, without anyone being sacrificed. So it's not impossible. It's been proven to be done. You know, but I guess oversaturation is a thing. When you got so many wrestlers, and you got a 2-hour show, a 3-hour show. Balancing timekeeping is a thing. Maybe it's just a thing they can't balance.
That's lack of talent, because it's like any ensemble piece. You have to, if you've got an ensemble where you have, right, these are the main ones, it's a bit like Marvel. You know, you're coming to this big thing at the end. So how do you then go, right, I don't want to have this person just come in that they've never been referenced before. They were referenced once 2 minutes ago in a film 3 years ago, and then here they come at the end. You need to give them their time to shine. It's a balancing act. So it's almost like, then break it down then, if you can do it. And it's talent, because it is a talent to do what Paul Heyman did, to then go, right, how do we balance these big names with this, and then this down here, which is interesting, because it's also speaking to the fact that you want to give fans a variety and a flavour to be able to have the choice, to be able to go, oh, well, I don't want to look into that one, and that one, and that one. But then money talks, bullshit walks. You can see where the money's going.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because at the end of the day, if you scrimp out on writers, you scrimp out on that, because it looks like, oh, okay, it's a deal. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it does have a stink at that. You will see it in the product. You know, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. So if you're going to scrimp out on writers and not have these stories and only focus on this, and the thing is, right, I mean, like, to my mind, you have these other potential stories going on that other people couldn't get invested in, so you could kind of keep it going and expand the fan base. I mean, am I missing something?
Yeah, good story.
Well, to close this episode, one last rant. There was a wrestler that started out, I believe, in TNA. Very talented. His name was Eli Drake.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
That's an evil.
Dumb. Eli Drake, this guy is money. He's everything that you could actually want. He's brilliant on the microphone. Can wrestle anyone's ass off. When he's a heel, everyone hates him, but he does it so well. When he's a face, which is a rarity, everyone loves him. He's gone from TNA, he's travelled all corners. Then he eventually turned up in WWE, on NXT. And on a side note, on some good news, Triple H has returned to NXT, so there might be some hope for NXT,
That's good.
Yeah, you also heard that Stephanie now left WWE for some reason.
Yeah, right? she's basically taking a break. But I got a feeling it's got something to do with a meeting they had recently.
Not too well. But yes, Eli Drake and turns up in NXT with a new name, L.A. Knight.
Subpar, yeah. 80s trainers.
That's it, L.A. Gear, L.A. Gear. Huh? British Knights, L.A. Gear means British Knights, yeah? Okay.
Don't worry. WWE knows their fans are not idiots. Even when he was
Really? I don't know about that.
During his promos on NXT, the crowd was still chanting Eli Drake. His NXT time came to an end, and now he turns up on SmackDown this week with a new name, Max Dupri.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, bro. He's now a manager, and he calls himself Max Dupri.
This is not as bad as Dewdrop, I guess.
This is where I draw the line. Everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows what he can do. This is why people like Adam Cole bounced out of WWE. The man had a stunning career with Undisputed Era, ready and destined for the main event. They were going to call him up, but oh no, we want you to shave your hair and become a manager to the Limitless one, Mr. Keith Lee. Yeah, I can see why that didn't work out.
And to be fair, the main reason why they changed the name change because they can't because obviously they want the name so they can make the money. And there's no way an independent wrestler like Eli Drake's going to give him that name. Or Adam Cole. You know?
But
also, we're not operating in a vacuum anymore. Like, there's so much, you know, there's documentaries and stuff about the fight people have over their names, retaining their names. And of course, you know, we remember what happened with The Rock and the whole, when The Rock retained his name and all of that. So it's like, of course, you're going into it with open eyes, knowing that it's like, if you give up the name, this is what can happen.
But the transformation from LA Knight to Dupree, I cannot continue with this anymore.
When I hear LA Knight, I just think of like Misty Knight's cousin from Luke Cage. Like, I just think LA Knight. It sounds like a bad cartoon in the morning.
Sounds like a bad porn star, to be honest. I'm so cool. Hello, ladies. I'm LA Knight.
Stop it.
No.
I've come to fix your pipes.
LA Gears, they wasn't. Whoa. How much were they back in the day?
What, LA Gear?
LA Gear, yeah.
Jesus.
they were top tier back in the day.
Top tier back in the day, you know. What were the lights?
Oh, LA Gear. Can you still buy LA Gears?
What do you find it in a retro shop somewhere?
Oh my gosh.
I think you might. No, you know what? I've actually seen LA Gear somewhere. I think it was Office, it was. And I nearly passed out when they charged me.
Oh my god.
Oh, can you get them? Oh my god, you can. Oh my god.
I just saw a pair for £650.
On what?
Oh, excuse me?
That can't be LA Gear. That cannot be LA Gear.
Oh my god, I've just seen a yellow pair with the license plate. Shut up.
What is happening? You can buy them at Sports Direct.
That says all. That says all that needs to be said about LA Gear. Oh my god, there are some gold ones and they are hideous. Yeah, that's all needs to be said. We need to stop talking. Oh my god.
LA Gear and a shell suit. Oh, those are the days.
Oh my Jesus. I can't even lie, I own both of them. Oh my god. The shell suit and the LA Gear too.
Wasn't our fault. We had parents.
Wasn't our fault. Well, on that note, actually, before we do a wrap up, bruv, a quick verdict on Rescue Rangers.
It was pretty good. I would definitely say it's like this generation's version of Roger Rabbit, who actually makes an appearance in the cartoon or in the film, okay. Even. And
Roger Rabbit's in Rescue Rangers.
Yeah,
it makes
a cameo appearance. Again, there's a lot of cameo appearance. Star of the show is Ugly Sonic. And the voice acting from, I'm hearing him a lot these days, Andy Samberg. He's seen a lot of voice work recently, like, obviously, because we're playing Tiny Tina's Wonderland. He's in that a lot. But yeah, it was actually, again, it's not as good as Roger Rabbit, I would say. Roger Rabbit still wins, but when it comes to cameo and Disney showing how much money they throw and how many franchises they own and can get access to without an issue. It is a big dick swing on Disney's part, I gotta say. But all in all, the film itself was a lot of fun. Hour and a half tops. You know what? Give it a watch. It's a decent watch. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you smile.
Okay, cool. And on the other note, please check out the Instant Classic YouTube channel. We've been playing Tiny Tina's Wonderlands recently. But it's also, I saw Bruv playing Sifu, which is just like giving me all the feels of literally like old school martial arts movies and old school games. Elden Ring, but we move on quickly from that one. It's okay, it's fine. We don't just talk about it. It's fine. A bit of Dying Light, so please check out Instant Classic Gaming on YouTube. But you know what? I'm going to draw a line under tonight, because, you know, we can go into the wee hours discussing the fuckery, shenanigans, and everything else in between of WWE. So I'm going to call it a night. Thank you very much for your time, your attention, your ears. If you'd like to get in contact with us about anything you want, you can email us at centuriesadventures@gmail.com. On Instagram, we are messed up pod, and on Twitter, we are and messed. Big man, what's your socials?
Thank you, sis. My socials is on the gram, I'm Mr_Roberts_V1, and on Twitter, I'm Wall3782. How about you, bruv? What's yours?
Well, like my big sis said, you can find me on YouTube under Instant Classic Gaming, where I'm playing an array of games like Sifu, Ghostwire Tokyo, Elden Ring, and so on and so forth. And you can also find me on Twitch, TikTok, and Instagram under InstantClassic_Gaming.
Thank you very much for your time. You stay safe, and later on, people. Bye.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the Centuries Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.